We will resume this hearing for Mr. James DeWig, 87349, and do it by telephone.
Well, we're still doing the video.
But he can't see us.
Hello, Mr. DeWig, can you hear me? Can you hear me, Mr. DeWig? Can you hear me, sir? Can you hear me? Good morning. Okay, we're going to continue your hearing. So just hang on and let's see if it's going to work.
Hi, Mr. DeWig. Sir, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we do have an echo. We're going to try to continue your hearing, sir. You can't see us, but you can hear us. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we were conducting a hearing, and then the screen went out, and we didn't have any communication, so we're going to go ahead and try to continue your hearing. I just want to make sure that you can plainly hear and understand me, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So when we were doing your hearing, we were coming up on the information that we were actually talking about the crime itself, or when it occurred and what had happened there. Is there anything else, sir, that you want to tell us about what occurred? You was explaining to us that you did like a lot of noise. You explained to us about you had been shot and that you panicked after the incident occurred and you left. And you actually carried it to the bedroom and then covered it with a blanket and then you left. And subsequently, you were arrested in where? Was it Bullhead City? Where were you arrested at?
Riverside Casino.
Okay.
I stopped by and I was trying to get away.
Okay.
I want to make some people
clear. Go ahead, sir.
At the time that this happened, I told you I had been shot before.
Yes.
I didn't pull the trigger on that gun. And at trial, the gun experts proved that the gun was malfunctioning. If you shake the gun, the trigger tension or the trigger bar or something like that, it decreased. And depending on how hard you shook the gun, the trigger tension went down. I was stupid. I was irresponsible. I was negligent. I didn't think about any of that at the time when this happened. I thought about it afterwards, but I didn't think about it. I take full responsibility. I've never denied that.
Okay.
I take full responsibility for what happened.
Okay.
And it's completely changed my life. I live with this 24 hours a day, every day. And it hurts as bad today as it will tomorrow. You know that I did that. I have nothing else. The only thing I can tell you is it was my fault.
Okay.
I was irresponsible, I was reckless, and I didn't think about it at the time. I had a brand new gun, there was no way I would back off that thing and discharge. I didn't pull the trigger. That was one of the reasons why I was found guilty of a manslaughter rather than murder.
Okay, well, Mr. DeWig, I'm looking at, you did have a prior criminal history, and I'm going to tell you that this information really is information that we've actually gotten that says basically far from local, state, and national law enforcement sources established the following criminal history that you had, like going back to 1968, that it said that you had a battery charge in Los Angeles, you were convicted and fined in jail. A minor possessed of alcohol, you convicted in jail time. It says that it was a burglary in 68, released. There was a robbery in 68 that says you were released in insufficient evidence. Says there was 68, there was a lot in 68, drugs and parole violation, detention in California Youth Authority. Looks like you may have been paroled on that in 1920, August 20 of 70, or either paroled or discharged. You did a 5-year prison sentence for robbery in Los Angeles back in 1970?
Yes, sir.
And then it looks like in 73 you had a possession, use of heroin. Did you use heroin at one time, sir? This was your
heroin. I've been heroin since about 1967.
Okay, sir.
If you read the personal profile that I gave you,
yes, sir.
That I provided to you, it states in there that my opiate addiction started in 1957 when I was in the hospital.
Okay.
And the doctors used to keep, they kept me drugged up because everybody thought I was going to die. They couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. It's in the personal profile.
Okay. I have that, sir. Also, it looks like in 75 you was returned to DOC for a robbery.
No. I wasn't returned in 1975.
Yeah, it says June 24th, 1975, says robbery. It says return to California, DOC, CRC, Corona, California.
That wasn't a robbery.
Okay, that's what it has listed in your criminal history, sir.
I'm just saying I only had one robbery in my whole life. Okay, I'm not debating
that issue because I can't prove either way. I'm just informing you of what's in your criminal history. Okay.
Yes, sir. In 1975, there was a forgery.
Well, it looks like you had in the criminal criminal history in 74 or 75, you had a robbery, and then looks like in 88 there was an attempted robbery and you were convicted and did 3 years probation, 1 year county jail. And then in 1990 you also had a probation revocation for the use of a deadly weapon other than a firearm, and you had a probation and it was a revocation, did 3 years, they revoked it with probation.
Okay, 1975, I was arrested in
four
robberies in there. I don't know where this is coming from.
Okay, well, I can't explain that for you, sir.
I have a copy of my police record in my, what they call the rap sheet.
I understand, Mr. Derry. I can't debate that. I'm just telling you what's on the prior criminal record that we have here. That's something that we can't straighten out. That's something that at some point you're going to have to get with your CO3, or if you get out, you're going to have to contact the agency that actually has that listed to have that corrected, okay?
Well, yeah, it's wrong.
So I'm gonna just move on from the criminal history, sir. It looks like that after you were convicted by a jury trial, that you did an appeal, you were granted relief relief for the charges, but that was denied. Is that right?
Yes, in 1973.
Okay.
I mean, 1993.
Okay. So I do want to commend you because I do see 7 letters from officers of the Department of Corrections that they have wrote in here for you to the Arizona Board of Clemency. These letters are your current is one in 18, one 16, one in 1995. But these are letters talking about your work experience and the experience that they've had the opportunity to work with you since you've been incarcerated, and really speaking on your character of being a good character and being a good person while you've been incarcerated. Are you aware of that? Okay. So you also have several certificates in here that you've received since you've been incarcerated too, sir. You've been working to get some things done. Is there any other training or anything that may not be listed in your report that you can tell us about, sir?
No, nothing that I don't do every day.
Okay. All right, Mr. DeWitt, I'm gonna see at this time if the board has any additional questions for you, okay? Is there any additional, Ms. Rittenhouse?
Thank you. Mr. DeWitt?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm interested in just hearing from you. You've hinted at this a few times, but how have you changed? How is the you of today different from the you of 1990?
Well, generally, put it on the list, I think, before I was, my emotional instability during my, from 1957 until this occurred, was very, very bad. I had very low self-esteem, very low everything. I didn't care about nothing and nobody. All I cared about was trying to forget my past. And I did everything I could to forget. Heroin, LSD, alcohol, anything that would numb my brain. And I didn't consider all the people that I was hurting. My mother, my grandmother, my family. All the disrespect and dishonor that I did to them, that I showed them by being the person that I was. And when I came to prison, everything changed. My whole mindset changed. I've done everything that I possibly could to correct my abnormal thought patterns. And I did a magnificent job in just personally for me, because now I respect myself. You didn't have to know who I was before in order to see the change. I'm never going to commit another crime in my life. I will never victimize my family, my, or anybody ever again. Period. I will never do drugs again, ever, period. I'll never do drugs again, ever, period. And I deal with my problems now, straight up. I do order one of these gentlemen sitting next to me. I deal with my problems straight up. And I deal with the consequences.
Okay. I noticed that you completed a few programs in prison, but there's nothing really recent. I see you took Design for Living, Substance Abuse Reentry, Thinking for Change, Conflict Resolution, and Cultural Diversity. But those are like the kind of the standard ones that we see everybody takes. Maybe they're required. How were you able to make this change in yourself? Did you study? Did you read it?
I studied.
What did you study?
I was a psychiatrist.
Okay.
Mr. Michael Breslow.
Okay.
I took a 7,200-hour course from Mr. Towns, which is the one that really built me most good.
Was that from Dantown?
Yeah.
Downtown.
LIAS
or something. Yes, okay.
That was on one-on-one. The programs that you're talking about, the cultural program, we took those programs before they were made mandatory.
Okay.
As soon as they were made available, I took it. They weren't mandatory then. They
okay.
became mandatory a year later. But I've done everything,
taken
every class that I can
to
change my mind.
Okay, sir. And then just to shift gears a little bit, where would you, if this board were to release you either on general floor or home arrest, where would you live?
At the halfway house to begin with. And then once I saved some money, I would move on my own.
Okay.
I want to go back to California and be around my family.
Right, and you know, that would take interstate transfer.
Yeah.
So for now, it would have to be in Arizona. Is that Phoenix Oasis that you're talking about? Because there's an acceptance letter in here from them.
Yes, ma'am.
Phoenix, okay.
They have programs that I'd be interested in.
Yeah, they do. They have some good stuff. Okay, so thank you. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Okay. Good morning, Mr. Canales.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Mr. DeWitt, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I just have a quick question, and I'm going to follow up on what Mr. Johnson said. I certainly don't want to argue with you the particulars, but are you saying you don't have a criminal history in California or any prior felonies?
No. I have a long history in California. But it's, you know, I don't have the things that he's mentioning. A robbery in 1975, that didn't happen.
Okay, I'm not going to argue that, but were you a convicted felon in California?
Yes, sir.
For what?
I was convicted of robbery in 1970. I was convicted of forgery. In 1974, I was convicted of grand theft in 1988. Not robbery, grand theft.
Yes, sir.
I stole plumbing tools.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that we were at least clear that you had a history in California. I'm not gonna run you down about it. I wanted to make sure that you were saying, or that we agreed that you had a criminal history in California.
Yes, I did.
Thank you very much, Mr. DeWitt. I appreciate it.
Nothing to be
proud of you. So I understand. I wanted to clarify. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Okay, Mr. DeWitt, as we come up on a conclusion of the hearing, sir, I don't see any more questions coming from the board. Is there anything else you'd like to say to the board, sir, without repeating yourself before we go into discussion?
I think I said that I was just hoping that you would give me the opportunity to prove what I've done, the changes that I've made.
Okay.
I will never be a threat to anybody ever again, society or my family or anybody else.
Okay. So the board's going to go into discussion. While the board's going into discussion, Mr. DeWitt, I'm going to ask you to stay on the line so that you can hear the discussion taking place amongst the board. We will make a decision whether to grant you parole or deny you parole during this discussion, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. The board's now into discussion. Mr. DeWitt does have a criminal history. He's done 25-plus years in prison for manslaughter, which he says was an accident. He does have information in the report that there was testimony that the gun could have accidentally fired. When they talk about the pressure that it would cause for the gun to actually be fired, he does have a minimal amount of criminal history since he's been incarcerated. The tickets that he's actually received since he's been incarcerated, he has taken some programming. He hasn't more recently taken a lot of program. Like I said, the last program that I saw was in 2016 that he actually taken. But his explanation that he spends his time working, he does have letters of in his file from DOC workers talking about him working, and that confirms his statement that he spends most of his time that he's working. He had a couple of citations that we talked about earlier that was informally resolved, but the last ticket he actually received, I believe it was in 2014, was the last ticket that he actually received, which was a minor, but he's had only two major violations the entire time that he's been incarcerated. He does have an acceptance letter from Phoenix Oasis that says that he can stay there, Phoenix Oasis. And the acceptance letter that they have states that they are a no, they have a no tolerance rule, drinking or using drugs is not tolerated, and drug tests are mandatory, and they recommend that the parolee commit to stay a minimum of 90 days in that program that he actually has. So he says that he has some funds, and his parents, his family's going to help support him. There is a fee that has to be paid of $120 to that program. I think that he's paroled and he goes to that program, and he's able to maintain and follow the directions on the home arrest status in that program. I'm willing to give Mr. DeWitt a opportunity. He was convicted of manslaughter. He received a life sentence because he was on parole out of grand, out of California for a grand theft, larceny. So that's my opinion at this time. I'm willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues, Mr. Quinones.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. I'm willing to consider home arrest, although should we vote in that direction, I certainly want to see substance abuse program in the other category, because he was a serious drinker leading up to this incident. As a matter of fact, I got to tell you, I have to wonder how much damage he did to his health in those days, but he's with us. So if we're going to consider that, I'm going to have very strong feelings about him having some sort of mandatory substance abuse counseling for drinking drugs. Thank you.
Ms. Redpath.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. I remember Mr. DeWitt clearly because I was the lead on his hearing last time in February, and I remember us having a discussion about the fact that we could set him off then for a year, but we didn't. We chose not to.
Right.
And that was deliberate because we liked what we heard then, and we wanted to have, you know, a little bit more time. And I don't see anything different today. I think Mr. DeWitt accepts responsibility for what he did. And I believe him when he says he'll never do another crime. I believe him. So I would also be in favor.
So no other comments coming from the board. I am going to make a motion to grant Mr. DeWitt home arrest, deny him regular parole, or an absolute discharge. I am going to include the following conditions. Is that one is that he follow all mandatory DOC conditions and sanctions. I'm going to mark this needs assessment for referral counseling, vocational education, no alcohol use, random tests for drugs. I'm definitely going to mark that he can't operate a motor vehicle. I think he has to show that he's been out. It says recommended halfway house, so I don't know if I should mark this and just put the halfway house.
Just viewing some ways.
Right. Recommended halfway house. I'm just going to mark recommended halfway house. I'll mark Phoenix Oasis on here. Must pay any restitution. I didn't know if there were restitution involved in this. Abide by institutional rules. Partake in any program as directed. That would be my motion.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay. Okay. Motion by myself. Seconded by Ms. Rittenhouse. Agreed, Mr. Jones, Mr. Neal. Disagree, Dr. Robinson. Release Ty Granite is a home arrest. He was denied absolute discharge or regular parole. Okay, Mr. DeWitt. Okay, so the board has voted to grant you home arrest status, okay? And with the following conditions, that you follow all mandatory DOC conditions and sanctions, needs assessments, referral, counseling, or vocational education, no alcohol use. Random tests for drugs and alcohol, may not operate a motor vehicle, recommended halfway house, you must pay restitution if there's any restitution, abide by institutional rules, partake in any available program as directed. Also said that there is a $65 monthly fee that you will have to pay starting after 60 days that you've been released. Do you think you can live with those conditions, sir?
Yes, sir. The only thing problem I would have would be with the driving. I have to have somebody to get back and forth to work.
Well, sir,
I'm a plumber.
Mr. DeWitt,
yes,
you have had an extensive history for alcohol, and, you know, we do not normally grant someone driving privilege once they're released, simply because you've been incarcerated for, what, 28 years?
28 years, sir.
You've been incarcerated for 28 years. Sir, I would guarantee you that operating a motor vehicle now is absolutely different than operating a motor vehicle that you operated 28 years ago, sir. And so it's going to take you some time to get reacclimated, you know, back into all of the things that's going on and the changes that we have. Now, if you can't live with that condition, sir.
No, I thought it was going to be permanent.
No, no, you don't have an opportunity. You don't have an opportunity, sir. Mr. DeWitt, once you are released and put on home arrest, you'll have an opportunity to come back to this board in about 6 months to see, and this board will then determine what your status is at that time and see what progress you made and how things are going with you. You'll be able to come back to this board, okay?
Yes, sir. That'll be just fine.
All right, sir. That is going to conclude your hearing at this time, Mr. DeWitt. I want to thank you for taking the time and opportunity for participating in your hearing today, sir. Would you please put the CO3 back on the line?
Yes, I want to thank you all for your consideration and your faith. I will
disappoint. All right. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir.